while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
It's a real pleasure and privilege to be here again. I was here at Pastor Deji's commission into this church, and to see what God is doing here is absolutely amazing. I'm not sure there were as many of you that day as you are today, so I'm sure I'm seeing some of you as who are new. You know, I know I don't look old enough to be his pastor, but I was. And it's a pleasure to see what God's doing in his life. I'm sure you must know his age, and I'm older than him. He could be my brother by 2 years, or two sets of brothers below, if we might put it that way. But it's a real privilege. He's told the story. I still remember us on my very first mission trip was to Zambia, and Pastor Deji was with me on both that trip and the subsequent trip. We went 2 years in a row, if I remember, and then a couple of trips to Ghana also we went also. So it's just a privilege to see the amazing work. He's so gifted, isn't he? What a gifted pastor he is. Put your hands together for him. You know, I wish I could do all the things he does, sing, computer, IT, just everything. You know, I've just got that one gift to preach. So it's a privilege to be with you today, and I trust God's got a word for us this morning. How many minutes do I have? I know time's far spent. Is it? Oh, no. No, I won't take 2 hours. I very much have an internal alarm clock on the inside of me that tells me when I see the people, they've had enough. And so this morning we will go with that. We are looking at lessons from a shipwreck this particular morning in the book of Acts. And the text which they read this morning, ever so often there are a couple of scriptures you read, like the story of Rebekah and Isaac. It's a long chapter in the book of Genesis. And so why would God put such a long chapter there that's long, other than there's certain lessons we can learn from it? Likewise, this whole chapter that we've read this morning in Acts chapter 27 is a really long chapter on a shipwreck, one of Paul's many shipwrecks. Paul says in the book of Corinthians that he was shipwrecked 3 times. And in one of those instances, he says, I was shipwrecked for 1 day. So we know that shipwreck is not this particular shipwreck, because this shipwreck was for many days in this particular text that was read this morning. And I want to back up a bit in the story to Acts chapter 27, verse 1 for a moment. It says, and when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. And it says in verse 4, when we had put to sail from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. In this particular text, someone is talking here, is talking as we sailed. And so the question first and foremost is, who is the we that we're talking about here? Who is talking here? We know Luke wrote the book of Acts of Apostles, and he is on this journey. So Luke is on this journey with Paul. And not only is he on the journey with Paul, at some particular point in time, Julius, who is a centurion and really does like Paul, unlike the other prisoners that are on this journey, Paul is a prisoner, a distinguished prisoner, because he actually has appealed that he wants to go to Rome. And in the book of Rome, Paul actually says, he says, I pray that I will come to you. He wants to come to the Roman Christians. And he says, I hope God gives me a safe journey towards you. In Romans chapter 1, I believe verse 10, he says that. But he doesn't know that he's going to get to Rome in perhaps one of the most oddest shipwrecks you could ever imagine, or storms you could ever imagine. Have you ever stopped to think of how many terms we actually use as Christians that relate to a ship, or in life generally that we would use as relates to a ship? We would say things like safe sailing, or we would talk about Christians and say they've gone to the other side, to the other shore when they pass on. And so there's so many terms we use that relate to being in a ship at various points in time. And this particular story here that is here relates to us as individuals. And John Newton, the great ship, slave owner at some point in time, said this. He says, God's people have no assurance that the dark experiences of life will be held at bay, much less that God will provide some sort of running commentary on the meaning of each day's allotment of confusion or boredom or pain or adversity that we may face. It is no greater matter that where we are, provided that we see that the Lord has placed us there and that He's with us in that particular situation. They are in a ship at this particular point in time that is going to Rome, taking Paul to Rome. And in fact, there was a prophecy that says that Paul shouldn't go to Rome, but Paul has this ultimate desire to go and preach in Rome. And I want to tell us that life is a voyage for us at some point in time. The older you get in life, the more you realize that it's not all hunky-dory, and that each and every one of us get our allotment of life's trials. Isn't that the case? Whatever that might be. We say it to our young ones. We tell them, and our parents told us, but we didn't listen, did we? But at some point in time, you realize that life is not fair. But it throws its fair share of what is not fair at all of us. Isn't that the case? And in this particular situation, the great apostle Paul is going from here to Rome in this situation. We say in life, you either sink or swim, don't we? We'll say things smooth sailing. Don't make shipwreck of it. When Christians die, we'll say things like they've reached the other side of the shore. In this particular situation here, the Bible says that as they were sailing, the winds were contrary to them. The winds were contrary and the waves tossed them. As we go along life, sometimes we have these great ideas or great sense of what God is telling us to do. But then as we go, the winds are contrary. Why are the winds contrary? I think it is in the Psalms that the psalmist says, they that go out into deep waters face stormy weathers. Sometimes we're in the deep for God and we face stormy weathers. And we ask ourselves questions like, well, God, you sent me. You told me to do it. How many of you know that the disciples were in the boat and Jesus said to them, let us go to the other side? That was the commission. Let us go to the other side. But as they were going to the other side, they faced stormy weathers. Yet the word that Jesus gave them was, let us go to the other side. Even though Jesus was in the boat, they still faced stormy weathers. Did you get that? Yes. Jesus might be in your boat, but you still might face stormy weathers. It's no indictment against you. It's nothing to do with you actually doing something wrong. It could be because you're doing something right that you're facing the stormy weathers in life. So Jesus was in the boat with them, yet they faced stormy weathers. The winds were contrary to them, but Jesus knew they were getting to the other side, so he slept through it. The disciples were fearful about it, were afraid about it. Verse 7 and 8 in this particular text tells us something about when we're passing through situations here. And I read it for us here. It says, look at this. When we had sailed slowly many days, slowly, and arrived with difficulty. Arrived with what? Difficulty. No, we don't want that. They sailed slowly. They arrived with difficulty. And the wind was not permitting us to proceed. These were all hindrances. And if I said, if you've been alive long enough, you'll have tests, but you'll have testimonies to tell of a God that has seen you through. You see, my grandmother was a wonderful woman of God. I usually say she would wake us up at 12 midnight to pray till 3 every night. I mean, when we weren't even Christians. Do you know how long that is for someone who's not saved? It was like eternity. But here we are now preaching the gospel because of her. And she used to give me wonderful testimonies of this God that was alive. The Acts of Beatrice. Acts of Apostles. She had these wonderful stories of a God that was alive, that had worked in her life and done such immense and powerful things. And one day, as she was telling me these stories, I was in my teens, my eyes grew wider and wider and wider, and I thought to myself, when I'm 90 years old, I don't want to be telling the stories that my grandmother's telling me. I want to be telling the stories of a God that's alive in my life. I want to be telling the Acts of Edward. And the question this morning, whose Acts do you want to be telling? But to tell the Acts of God, and to tell your own acts with God, you're going to face tests and trials and tribulations that come to our lives that God brings us through. And when he brings us through, those become the stories we tell. In this particular story here, Paul says to them, he tells them, listen, man, I perceive that this is going to be a difficult journey. I perceive that this voyage may end with disaster and much loss, not only of cargo and ship, but our own very lives. Why does Paul perceive this? Out of experience? Out of an experience? He says, I've been shipwrecked several times. He says, I've been shipwrecked 3 times. In fact, what happens here is Julius, who is the Roman centurion, with all his guards, he has 276 prisoners on this ship. Paul tells him, listen, let's not sail now, because I can perceive difficulty. I can see the wind is contrary. I can see this, we're not going to make headway. Then the scripture tells us that Julius, he asks the helmsman, and he asks the ship owner, and the ship owner and the captain of the ship said, let's sail. Why do you think the captain of the ship and the ship owner said, let's sail? Maybe the teacher. The reason why they decide to sail, experience, you might say, yeah, but no. There's financial gain for them. So irrespective of what the situation is, they are going to sail. They have 276 prisoners to deliver to Rome. They have cargo. They have cargo underneath the ship, and they said, we don't care what's happening on the outside, we are going to sail. So they decide to sail. Paul says, excuse me, even though I'm a prisoner here, I perceive that this journey, why does he say that? Why does Paul know what everyone else doesn't know? Oh yeah, he knows the Lord. He knows the Lord. How do you know what everyone else doesn't know? Because of your walk with God. Did you hear that? People might tell you things. See, you might listen. It's great to listen to the experts sometimes, but it's better to listen to God. Did you hear that? Paul says, I perceive that this journey, there might be loss of life, there'll be loss of cargo, there'll be loss of that. It then says, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded. What does that mean? They said, no, don't listen to Paul. Don't listen to this. Don't listen to that. How many times has pastors speak to us? How many times has God wanted to speak to us through his word and through situations? And someone else tells us, don't listen to the word of God. Don't listen to what pastor says. Don't listen to what the word of God says. Don't listen to those who are hearing God. Don't listen to what they say in your life. So Paul says, okay, I'm in this now. And as they are sailing, it gets from bad to worse and to worst. And even at this point in time, it says they were with a wind, then a tempestuous wind hindered them. And it says, this ship is being tossed up and down. It literally says it in the text, up and down. Throughout the night, throughout the day, for 14 long days. This isn't just a one night situation. They left the ship just to go up and down, such that for 14 days, no one ate. Several nights, none of them ate. Even Paul gets to a place in this situation that God has to speak to Paul. It says in verse 22, "And now I urge you to take heart. I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Remember what Paul said earlier? He thought there would be loss of life. God comes to him and says, "Paul, because you're here, there'll be no loss of life." There was a pilot who was sat on a plane once who was a Christian. And someone said to him, "Oh, so you're a pilot, are you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, since you fly a plane, you know, there was once a plane flew in the air and crashed. Everybody in the front died. Then there was another plane that crashed and everybody at the back died. And then another plane crashed one day and everybody in the middle died." He said to the Christian pilot, "Where's the safest place on a plane to sit?" And the pilot said to him, he was a Christian pilot, but he was flying. He said, "You know where the safest place to sit is? Right beside me. If I'm on this plane is not going down." Paul was on, the only thing that literally saved this ship was Paul was there. It says it in the text. He says, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there'll be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and to whom I serve." To whom what? I belong. And to whom? That absolute assurance of who owns your life and that absolute assurance to whom you belong. DJ, you tell us, we've been in some dire situations as mission trips. I've been in some dire situations on mission trips. Some real dire situations on mission trips that have been life-threatening. But I know to whom I belong and to whom I serve. Did you hear that? No matter what you are going through in life, there's nothing that comes to you that doesn't come through the providence of God, that doesn't come through the hand of a loving God. You might, "Well, I don't like what's come my way. I don't understand what's come my way." I can absolutely assure you of God's immense loving kindness for you. There's nothing that comes to you that doesn't come through the hand of God. So why do we face these storms then? As I said to us, sometimes we face storms because we're in the will of God. We are literally in the will of God. Those who love him will go through many tribulations, many trials to get to the other side sometimes. And sometimes we face storms. It says stormy winds. The psalmist says this. He says stormy winds fulfilling God's will in our life. Sometimes stormy winds fulfill God's will. You imagine Jonah. Sometimes storms come into our life because of disobedience too. Jonah is running away from God. And God says, "Oh, you're running away from me." How many of you have ever run away from God before? Yeah. You could laugh at that. Yeah. If you've been with God long enough, God has had to chastise us like a loving father. Isn't that the case? You might go to pastor and say to him, "Pastor, I don't know why this storm is happening in my life," but deep down in your heart, you know why. The Bible says if God doesn't chastise us or discipline us, then we're not children. How many of you, I have two wonderful boys, great boys, and we're friends now. You know, they were great. I mean, we're friends, great friends. We do a father and son's day out every month. One's 31 and one's 29. And we do a father and son's day out every month that I'm around. But we weren't friends when they were young. Did you hear that? We weren't friends when they were 10 years old and 16 year old trying to go their way. And don't go rolling your eyes at me, teenagers. We're not between 10 and 20. I had to push them through those years. But they thank me for it now. Did you hear that? And there's some storms we go through in life that at the end of it, we thank God for it. Watch this, as I don't have much time, I'm not going to keep us long. When Paul is in this storm, God comes to him and says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and to whom I serve." If there's nothing you remember this morning, remember who you belong to. And remember who you serve. Because while everyone else is distressed by this storm, Paul has some fear too. I mean, there's no way. It's just human response for a boat to be cut loose and to be just tossed right, left, and center, not knowing where it's heading, for you not to have that. And listen to what God says to him. He's saying, "Do not fear, Paul." An angel comes to Paul and says, "Do not fear, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart." Everyone say, "Take heart." Take heart. One more time, take heart. Take heart. "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." And so Paul has a word from God. And that's the best thing that can happen to us in a storm. You know, I was going through a storm sometime, and it was such a really bad storm. You know, I was disheveled about it, and just a word just kept coming to my heart. And I didn't even know which scripture it was, but it just kept coming to my heart. It said, "I know the way that you take. And when you come through, you shall come through as gold." I didn't even know where the scripture was. I was so disheveled about this trial. I had to ask someone else. I thought it was Psalms. I thought it was Job. But I wasn't sure. And I told someone to check it out for me. And he looked it up for me. It was in the book of Job. It says, "I know the way that you take. And when you come through it, you shall come through as gold." So God was telling me, in spite of the storm, in spite of what you're going through, I know you're going through it. And when you come through it, it would have been for my glory. It would have worked a work in your life. And so sometimes the storms we go through, we don't understand. We don't understand every storm. We can't put our finger on the pulse. Do our children understand when we make certain decisions in their best interest? They think they know best at that time, don't they? They think they understand. So how do we think that we're going to understand our loving Heavenly Father? You know, my mother used to say to me sometimes, "I'm going to whoop you because I love you." I said, "I'd rather you not love me at this point in time, Mom. I'd rather you not. If this is love..." When she passed away, and I was giving her eulogy at her funeral, I was lauding her. I was praising her. I didn't remember that one, because she loved me. Remember, it's not what happens in the midst of a storm, it's what God tells you before the storm. What did he say before the storm? What does he say before the storm? Paul said God said to Paul, "You're going to get to the other side." What did Jesus say to the disciples? "Let's go to the other side." No matter what was happening in the storm, the word was, "Let's go to the other side." What was the word to Paul? "You will get to Rome." Jesus could sleep in the boat. When Jesus has given you a word, you can sleep in the boat in spite of the storm. You can praise him in the middle of the storm. That's mature faith. Not praising him after the storm. Praising him where? In the midst of the storm. Knowing that, having that self-assurance, that faith in him, that he's going to bring you through. Praise, no matter what it is, a loss of a job, sickness, whatever it might be in that situation, being able to praise God in the midst of the storm, knowing that stormy winds are fulfilling God's will in our life. That's a mature faith. That's a faith that he's trying to get us to. It's the sort of faith where Job lost everything and the devil said to God, he's not going to praise you. And Job, the Bible says, after he heard all the news, it says Job bowed down and worshipped. Job bowed down and worshipped. If I have a child and all I'm giving that child is candy or sweets, do I love that child? If all I'm giving them is sweets and sweets, it might seem it for that moment. I'm just giving them sweets, sweets, sweets. The kid, in his mind, if you asked a child, does he want sweets all the time, what would they say? Yeah. Does he want vegetables? No. Spinach? Broccoli? Brussels sprouts? Some of us as adults don't even want Brussels sprouts. But are they healthy for us? Are they good for us? Do we as adults now realize that, in fact, what's best for us is the spinach, the Brussels sprouts, the cabbage, and that as opposed to the sweets? Yes. Because we've taken a different view of it. And so Paul is in this situation. It's not what happens in the midst of the storm. It's what God says to us before the storm. The ability to discern the will of God is a lifeline for us as Christians. It's a lifeline for us. What is God saying to us? What is God saying to you? What is he saying to you through the word, as you read the word of God? Because he wants to continue to speak to us through the pulpit, perhaps speaking to some of us today, speak to us as we read the word. It's not a chore. It's not a routine to read God's word. It's our very life. I remember a time I was watching TV. I was, maybe about 20 years old. And I was watching TV in the night, about 11 o'clock at night, one of these Indian Bollywood movies. And the Holy Spirit just kept saying to me, go to the room and pray. And I was talking back, like a teenager talks back. Like, you know, when I finished the movie, I'll go and pray. And the Holy Spirit just whispered again in my spirit, go and pray. And I said, Holy Spirit, when I finish this movie, it's going great. I'll go and pray. Third time, the Holy Spirit says, go and pray. I was like, no, this is great. This is a great action scene going on here. You know, this is great. I'll go and pray. And after I finished the movie, I went to my room and thought, it's not a good idea to start prayer, just praying after disobeying the Holy Spirit like this. So let me go to Galatians, read the word a bit, let me get spiritual in the word before I pray. And as I started reading Galatians, a verse just popped out. Where Paul said to the Galatians, just popped out that night. It was as though God says, so you're trying to get spiritual in the word so you can muddy the waters before you come to me and pray. And the scripture that just came out at me was, have I become your enemy for telling you the truth? Have I become, it's there in Galatians, have I become your enemy for telling you the truth? I'm going to end here, saints. Because Paul speaks three times to this storm in this situation. He speaks three times here. He speaks at the beginning where he says, I perceive there will be a disaster. He gives a word of warning. Then he speaks a second time. I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life for you. That's a word of encouragement. Then he gives a word of warning. He says, unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. They want to jump out of the ship. He says, stay in the ship. They cannot be saved. Isn't that for us the same thing? There's several things they throw out. They throw the cargo out. They throw the dinky boat out because people want to jump in the boat and go out. They throw the skiff. They throw all these things out. But the one thing at no point in time did they throw out that they should have thrown out was the anchor. The anchor. And the scripture tells us that you and me, in the book of Hebrews, it says we have an anchor for our soul. So irrespective of everything that we go through, saints of God, you have an anchor. And that anchor is Jesus Christ, isn't it? That anchor is Jesus Christ. He's the anchor for our soul, irrespective of what we go through. And we can hold on to that anchor and know that he will hold sure. Unless we stay, remember the last word I said, Paul said to them, unless they stay in the ship, they cannot be what? Saved. You stay in Jesus Christ. You stay with him. And no matter what you're going through, he will be your salvation through it all. Let's bow our heads and pray. Those that go down in the sea in ships that do business in deep waters. Once you're in deep waters with Christ, you're in deep waters within. Your very life is his. Your very existence is his. There's no going back. There's only one way you can go, and that's forward with him. Just play something for me there. Deji, there's a song I wanted you to sing, Through It All, Through It All. The stormy winds in our life, they fulfill the word of God in each and every one of us. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I trust that God has spoken to your heart. And whatever the storm you are facing, just realize that God said to Paul, fear not. Fear not, Paul, because you're surely going to get to the other side. God won't leave you where you are. He won't leave you with that decision on your own. He won't leave you in that financial difficulty on your own. He won't leave you with that illness on your own. He won't leave you with that joblessness on your own. He won't leave you on your own. Like Paul this morning, there is a fear not, my child, for you. There's a fear not. There's a messenger, an angel for you this morning. Unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. This morning, I want you to stay in the ship with Jesus. Because as you stay in the ship with Jesus, salvation is yours, healing is yours, deliverance is yours, forgiveness is yours. Mercy is yours. Grace is yours when you stay in the ship with Jesus.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.